so much for being here. Welcome to you all, and what a blessing it is for us to worship together. And whether you're here in person, which I think this is probably the most people that have been back since, you know, it started last year. So let's give God a major hand praise. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And it's good to see you again. It really is. I want to thank God for the worship team, the thank you band. Thank you band. Y'all blessing. I won't blow y'all out, but you all are blessing. One thing I like about them most is that they love God. They love each other. And it's one thing to be play an instrument, but it's another thing to be called to and anointed and of God to play and usher in the presence of God. So we thank God for them. We thank God for our worship team. We love you. We appreciate your hearts. How you usher us into God's presence. And all of you, those that volunteer in so many capacities, and our staff, what a blessing you are. And again, whether you've joined us in person or online, we want to let you know that we're praying for you. And this week we've had several prayer requests, some good ones, as well as some prayer testimonies about what God has done and what he is doing. So we invite you each week to join us. I see two of my guys walking in. What's up, fellas? All the way in the back, man. I'm just glad to see young people still loving God. And they're going to school, some from home. Jalen got a job. They growing up. Man, I tell you what, this is family. And I tell you, nothing like family. Can you get a good amen? God is good. We are the light of the world. Don't forget that. I don't care how dark it gets, we are the light of the world. And we're placed here to make a difference in this darkness. So I just want you to continue to, don't make it shine, but just let it shine. Yeah, so because of your partnering with us, you know, we've been able to continue to provide homes for the homeless, provide shelters for our veterans, and continue to do what we do for seniors. And it's just an amazing thing that God has blessed us with, and even the opportunity to serve. So thank you again. If you desire to partner with us, as I always say, there's three ways you can do it. One is simply by praying for us. And I don't want to minimize that, but prayer is probably the most important thing, because when God places his hand upon something, it has no choice but to prosper and to flourish. So continue to pray. And all those prayer warriors, continue to pray for those needs to be met. You can volunteer, and we've had several of you that volunteer in so many capacities, so thank you so much. Or you could give, and you can do that on our website at abundantfaith.org, or you could text to give at 84321. And I wanted to just give you one praise report, is that during COVID, you know, many people talk about, you know, the giving went down at their churches or whatever, but can I let you know that in 2020, our giving exceeded previous years. In 2021, we're already on chart or track to give more this year than we did last year. So we serve a good God. I mean, let's bless him real big. He's a good God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's one scripture that I want to share, and then I want you to join me as we pray for families and our cities, our nations. And man, my heart goes out, because there's so many things that we have to pray for. So whatever you do, do not stop praying. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. I'm just talking about family. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. And we will have one of the mothers will be speaking. I know it's going to be a blessing, because I personally know this mother. She's the mother of my children. So I've watched her, and she has a message, I know. And then the Sunday after that, I've asked another mother to share. And she also, I know, I've been knowing her for quite some time, and it happens to be my mom. She's 83 years old. And a lot of people aren't blessed, or churches like this, that, you know, you've watched her and you've seen her minister here on many occasions, and you've seen her chastise me, and even though I'm older, she still checks. You can't tell her that. Man, oh man. So she's going to be coming sharing on that Sunday. I think that might be the Sunday that is actually Pentecost Sunday. And she also said she wanted to lay hands on some people as well. So I know that I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 38th verse. And it simply says this: "Now the just shall live by faith." It goes on to say, "But if anyone draws back or shrinks back," is what the King James Version says. It says, "My soul has no pleasure in him." So let me focus on that first part again, the A part. "Now the just shall live by faith." Hallelujah. Say it with me. "The just shall live by faith." Not by money in the bank. Not by what the government says. Not by if gas prices are $3. "The just shall live by faith." Let us bow our heads as we pray. I want you to pray for that neighbor that's next to you too. And you don't have to lay hands on them, not unless you came in with them. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for family. Thank you for this church family gathering today. This place we called Abundant Faith. So God, we pray that your will is done today. Someone came with a need. And Father, I pray those needs are met. Someone had to fight in order to get here. Someone traveled even 100 miles or more just to be here. I pray, God, that every need is met. Father, I pray that someone hears your word and say, "What must I do to be saved?" May heaven rejoice, God, because your will be done in our lives. And Father, we decree it in the matchless name of Jesus. And why don't you take a moment to give him your best praise right now? Just come on, give him, give him your best praise. He's God. We love you, Lord. We bless you, God. I said, give him your best praise. He's worthy of it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We took for a subject today, faith during uncertain times. We've been talking about Jesus and the importance of his ministry to us and what it means to us. And, you know, when I talk about faith during uncertain times, you know, there have been several uncertainties in my life, uncertainties and surprises. One I remember is when I was in school and I didn't have enough money for gas. I was running on low and I was uncertain if I could make it to the gas station. Any of you all had one of those prayer services in your car? Yeah, y'all said recently, huh? And then another uncertainty and surprise happened when Chita came to me and said, "Honey, we are pregnant." Yeah, that was definitely a surprise. And so how are we going to take care of this? Another one, you know. And then, you know, oftentimes in school that I wasn't always the best student. And, you know, when I take a test that it was an uncertainty whether or not I would pass. And when I passed, it was a surprise. And I'm thanking God for those times. But God has always been faithful. But there's one most notable surprise and uncertainty that I remember. I was playing with one of my sons, and he will be nameless, but he happens to be the youngest. And I was on the floor. He was about between 1 and 2. He was walking, and I would, you know, it's fun with kids, and you got boys, so I'm chasing him around. I got a blanket over my head, and I'm crawling around, and I'm chasing him. And, you know, I hear him laughing, and he's, you know, I tackle him because I was a monster. And then I stop hearing anything for a while. And then all of a sudden he came back. And then all of a sudden I saw stars. I saw stars. I was laying out almost unconscious. And so, if you will, I was filled with uncertainty because I was uncertain what hit me. And I was filled with surprise when I lifted the cover off my head and I saw him holding a souvenir Cardinal baseball bat. Oh, I'm just saying. I said, like Gomer Pyle, surprise, surprise, surprise. But how many of you all know that life can be filled with both uncertainties and surprise? Even with some of the things that have happened in my life this year, it's been like Gomer, surprise, surprise, surprise. Is anybody in the house? You can relate. You know, if you had told me 5 years ago that our children, our kids would be attending school from home online, you know, that would have surprised me. Or, you know, there would be limited gathering for worship, that would surprise me. Or when it comes to when we greet each other, you know, we don't no longer want you to shake hands and certainly not want you to hug, so we're giving each other elbows. Sometimes it's you don't know whether to give them elbow, fist pump them, hug them, or just say, hey, hi. It's a little bit awkward. But this would, without a doubt, it would surprise me because we're living in times that are uncertain, if you will. Even when it comes to, well, I went to the bank just this week, and you have to be careful now because you go into the bank with a mask on. People that used to go to the bank with masks on had other intentions and putting money in there. So we're living in uncertain times, but God wants us to have faith even during these uncertain times. There was one situation, and I listened to this song this morning, you know, and the song goes something like this. It says, many things about tomorrow that I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds my tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. And I don't know about you, but especially during these times, because if I were to give you a first point, it would be this. These are uncertain times, but I don't know about tomorrow, but I'm so glad that I know who knows about tomorrow, and I'm glad I know who holds my hand. Can I get a good amen in this house? That's why during this time, we have to live by faith. It doesn't mean you got everything together, you do everything right. It doesn't mean that. It means that you're in right standings with God and the just. And I'm in right standings with God, not because of what I've done, but I'm in right standings with God because of what Jesus Christ done, his blood shed on Calvary's cross for me. Price paid in full. Past sins, present sins, and future sins. Thank you, Jesus. And that's worth giving him a praise right there. Hallelujah. When I think about these being uncertain times, I think about Jesus and his disciples when he was letting them know that he's like, hey, you know, fellas, I'm getting ready to take off. I'm getting ready to go. You know, I'm got to go somewhere, but I'm going to let you know you'll see me again. And he could see it in their hearts. Of course, you know, think about it. He was the one that they've seen open blinded eyes, you know, stop funeral processions, raise Lazarus from the dead. He was their example. If today it would be like he was our hero. He was even greater than a hero, greater than a Solomon. They had never seen anyone like him. Speak to the wind and the storm and it obey his voice. Demons would have to get out of his way. Demons knew him before he even got there. And they would talk back and say, well, this is what would you have do? Why are you messing with us before our time? Man, you talk about someone that's the one we serve. That's the person that we follow. Who wouldn't follow a God like this? he told them, he said, listen, I got to go. But I want you to know that you don't have to be troubled. John 14, 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, also believe in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. But I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare this place for you, I will come again. In other words, I'm coming back. I got to go, but I'm coming back. Thank you. Boy, that just excites me. Because where I am, I want you to be also. In other words, I want us to be together. We're going to be together. So can I show this picture of what was taking place? Here is God has been training Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, training his disciples. And he's saying, I'm getting ready to go, but it's just for a while. I'm going to come back and get you. It's almost like when we leave our children sometimes, or when we had children at the house, said, hey, I've got to go. Mommy's got to go. Daddy's got to go. But I'm coming back. And they would be like, sad. But you knew that you've been training them for that moment. Some of you all right now have been trained for this moment. Wow. You have been going from faith to faith. You started off here, and now you've gone through some things, and your faith muscles have been increasing. You've been through some things. Some things the devil told you you wouldn't make it through. Sometimes you yourself didn't think you would make it. And your neighbors and the ones looking on, they certainly didn't think you were going to make it. But look at you now. Can I just let you know that God is for you and he's been training you for this very time? That's why I'm not shook up in the midst of all this happening around me, because he told me, you know, your heart doesn't have to be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. A writer goes on and says, I love Paul's teachings. He says this, and this is how I felt on occasion. I'm just being real with you today. He says, we are pressed on every side by trouble, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. In other words, perplexed. Let me just break it down just a little bit. It means that I don't completely understand where I am right now. I don't understand the trial, don't understand the tribulation, and really, God, I really don't agree either. Some of y'all might say, well, I don't talk to God like that. I'm letting you know that we have those kind of conversations. Lord, what's up with this? I don't understand. Why are they tripping like this? Has anybody had any situations of race? But my perplexity did not drive me to despair. We've even been hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Some people have been looking for you. But God says, I will always be with you. I'll never abandon you. And he says, we sometimes get knocked down. Have any of y'all ever gotten knocked down? I'm going to raise both hands. Because I've been knocked down. Some people think, well, as soon as you get saved, you'll never have a test again. I was going to say you are a, but I'm not going to say it's not nice. But you live a little bit longer. There's been some times that you've been hit so hard, just the baby boy hit me. Bam, what was that? Where did that come from? I didn't see it coming. He says, but we are not destroyed. And just witness to a neighbor, say, neighbor, I don't care how many times you get knocked down, you will not be destroyed. Someone needs to hear that encouraging word today. Because some people are in the midst of some stuff right now. They don't understand, don't agree. And like I say, I must admit I've had some seasons like this. You know, and again, God sent me today to let you know that even though some of you might be in some seasons right now, but God is bringing you out and bringing you out with an amazing testimony. But here's what he wants me to share, and I want to make sure, and I just put it like this, may I infer that we're not meant to go through these times alone. We need help. If there's one problem that Jerry Wayne has had in life in the number of years that I've been pastoring, is that oftentimes I think I can do stuff by myself. I think I can do this. I can handle this. Therefore, you struggle. You stay up nights trying to figure it out. You're jotting it down on paper. You're figuring out what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. You think, well, I can do this. I'll call an attorney. I'll do this. Let me call someone that knows. And if you're in Illinois, they say, well, it's not, you know, what you know, it's who you know. So just try to call people who that you know, like they can do something without God. Can I preach today? Without God, you can do nothing. Without God, you'd be drifting. Without God, you get off track. Without God, you have no power. Thank you, Jesus. Some of us are in the midst of a challenge right now, and we're trying to do it alone. And sometimes when I watch, you know, young mothers and young fathers, you know, they're trying to do this, they're trying to take care of this and take care of that. And I know they have responsibilities, and I understand that. But oftentimes we need to slow down long enough, sit down long enough, and say, God, I need you right now. Because I can't do this on my own. I think that's one of the reasons that so many of us have even so many emotional issues, because we won't cast our cares upon the Lord. Look what the scripture says in John 16 and 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus talking again. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. Oh, it's my benefit that you go. Yeah, it's to your advantage that I go away. And I hope you're reading that on the screen. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come. Can I let you know, folks, we need a helper. And the church needs a helper right now. Pastor Doss needs a helper right now. I don't care whether the person around you or in front of you, beside you, whether they know it or not, they need a helper right now. My mother, on occasions, she would be trying to read something, and she, you know, would have something. She'd have her Bible. She's got a good-sized Bible. She doesn't have the electronic, so it's the regular Bible, and it's got larger letters. But on occasions, she would say, Wayne, you know, I can't see this. Go get my helpers. And I knew her helpers were her glasses. And some of y'all still need, I need helpers. Hallelujah. But when I would go get her helpers, she'd put them on and she could see a lot clearer. She could read that scripture and break it down to you and share all about. But she needed her helpers. Some of you all have been trying to do life without your helpers. And I tell you what, you need your helpers in order to see good, in order to have discernment, in order to be led, in order to be guided, in order to do what God has called us to do. I love this passage. Scripture says in the book of Acts, and this is sometimes one that we talk about. I talked about it a little bit last week. It says, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And goes on and says, you shall be my witness. Now, check this out. You shall receive power. He said, you know, go to Jerusalem, tarry there, and don't leave until you have this help. You know, I think that oftentimes that the church oftentimes tries to do ministry in their own strength, and God is saying, no, it's more than that. Why don't you get endued with power from on high and then go forth and do the work of the Lord? Hallelujah. Acts 10 and 38. This is one of my favorite scriptures, but some say, Pastor, you say that every Sunday. Well, I got a whole bunch of favorite scriptures. It says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. You mean to tell me Jesus needed to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and power? Then Jesus, after that, Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by devils. And I know some right now. for God was with him. Can I let you know, folks, if we want to do what Jesus did, we have to have what Jesus had. If you want to walk in the authority that Jesus walked in, you have to have what Jesus had, because he was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power. Hallelujah. When you've got an anointing on your life, you can speak the stuff and it has to change. I just want to share this with you. We definitely need the Holy Spirit in our life. We do. And I think that oftentimes, especially now when Google is so easy to go to, and we think that if we need an answer, just go to Google or Alexa. You know, man, Alexa is the smartest one in our house. Well, I'm sorry. Tita looked at me and said, no, she's not. But if we want the weather, we go to Alexa. If we want a definition, we go to Alexa. But what if Alexa's definition is not right? Thank you, God. And when I think about when it comes to having the help that we need, you know, we need something in our families that they're always right. I mean, if we could go to God, we know that his word to us is right. When we need help in relationships, we need help in businesses, we need help in every aspect of our life. And folks, to be truthful, I need to be reminded of this. Because so oftentimes when something comes up, the first thing we'll say is, how can I fix it? As opposed to God, Holy Spirit, what you want to do? How you want to do this? Now, how many of you know that's also humbling? And some of us don't want to be humble because we want to do it like we want to do it. Because oftentimes, you know, I'll say, God, you know, I'll do it like, you know, you want to do it, you know, and you know, sometimes he'll say, now you mean that, right? Because, you know, I might ask you to go. In fact, not might. I am going to ask you to go against your will. Then you have to make up your mind that you're not going to say what you had on the paper. You're not going to say what you plan to say. So can I share with you this? Is that we have an unseen helper in every situation of our life. You may not see him, but he is there. You may not acknowledge him, but help me out, he's there. Thank you, God. And he dwells on the inside of us. Romans 8 and 11 says this. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? Where does he live? So the Holy Spirit dwells in me. All I've got to do is tap into what's already on the inside of me. Before I make this decision, before I cuss somebody out, before I get ready to fight, before I take my gun, which I got my FOID card from whoever, before I do that, I'm going to say, God, what you want to do about this? Woo! Before I say what I feel like saying to my spouse. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? Shout it with me. He's in me. So we've got to listen to what's on the inside of us. Him, Christ, on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is our helper in every situation. That means that we've got to deal with some physical things. And I know that some people, you know, are right there right now because we're talking about faith in the midst of uncertainty. I was in on one of my first mission trips overseas, and I remember going, they took us to an infirmary, and I didn't know what one was. They asked me, well, you know, they told me we were going. I wanted to say, you know, what is an infirmary? And they said, well, it's better if we show you. And when they brought me there to see the number of people that were lame in having all types of diseases, but probably what hurt my heart most is the little children that were there, that their parents had died and they had nowhere to go, and many of them also had other ailments and things taken care of, some from blindness to being not being able to walk, and sometimes limbs gone. And one of the things that I remember that you talk about uncertainty, they weren't certain that they would get a meal that day. See, what we're going through, it's small stuff comparatively. One even asked me, you know, she says, you know, that you know, her parents had died, and she wanted a mom again. She wanted a father again. You talk about uncertainty, the uncertainty of, will someone adopt me? Will somebody take me home and call me theirs again? You know, that's why when we look at what we're going through and we're talking about, I'm going through a trial, you know, yeah, but there are people that are going through much worse things. And maybe if we would focus our attention upon helping somebody else. Can I preach today? We wouldn't focus on ourselves just so much. Thank you, God. Let's just give him one praise in this house. God, you're a good God. And we love you, Lord. That's why we must have faith during this time, because it's not enough for us to just lick our wounds, but we've got to raise up, because we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are placed here on the earth to make a difference. Therefore, we've got to rise up with faith in our hearts that we could speak to the very things that the enemy said will not be, and say, come forth in the name of Jesus. Come on and bless him real big, because he is God. And the spirit that is within you raised Jesus from the dead. And he gave life to your mortal bodies by the same spirit that is within you. Here's what scripture says. So if it raised Jesus from the dead, then what won't it do? What is your situation? What is your health situation? I remember when I was diagnosed, and I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I will share this with you. You know, I listened to the medical report, and then after the medical report, you know, they talked about the uncertainty. It could be this and could be that, and, you know, you could have to do this and that. And it puts a lot of uncertainty in your head. So I had to call my pastor, Pastor Dwayne Sheriff, and I said, hey, man, and I never forget what he said to me, because, you know, one of the questions that come to mind is this sickness unto death. And, you know, that's one of those things that comes to mind. He said, Doss, he said, this sickness is not unto death. You shall live, and you shall declare the very works of the Lord. That's all I needed to hear. That's all I need to hear. I said, oh, man, devil, you done messed up now. You tried to kill me. You should have did. Because I'm going to preach like I never have before. Why? Because God brought me up from my sick bed. And the devil tried to kill me, but I'm still here. I give you praise, God. I give you glory, God. Somebody give him a shout in this house. He is God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So can I just challenge you, my friends, that each day we can choose to live by faith. And it is a choice, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Are you with me today? You know, so how do you get a good report? By faith, the elders obtained the good report. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Are y'all still here today? Thank you, Jesus. So I'm learning how to walk in this. That's why the opening scripture says the just shall live by faith. Oftentimes we, as the body of Christ, sometimes we only operate in faith when there's a problem. Like we use it like a parachute. Well, you know, the plane's going down. We better pull out some faith. We act like I Dream of Jeannie and we get a bottle. You waiting for God to come out and say, bling. You know, we use it as an emergency pull cord. But faith has to be a lifestyle. God wants us to have or operate in faith as a lifestyle. That's how I live. When I get up, I'm getting up by faith. When I'm praying, believing. When I walk and when I talk to my children, I'm speaking to them in faith. I'm not even speaking to what I see, because faith is not what you see. Faith is what you know. Y'all better say amen in this house. They may be acting a fool, but I'm not focusing my attention and calling them what they're acting like. I'm saying, I know God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. I know God is going to bring you out of drugs and captivity. I know God's going to bring you out of jail. God's going to use you in this last hour because his word is true. Somebody give him one more praise in the house. Faith is a lifestyle, folks. Not a parachute, not an emergency pool chain, not a genie in a bottle. It's not a rabbit's foot. It's not a lucky charm. But that's how I live. I would like you to, don't do it right now, but just high five them in the air. Don't smack them. But say, it's a lifestyle. This is how I live. And I know my time is up, but let me end on this note. Some of you all have been wondering about your situation, wondering about your future, how things are going to turn out. You still have some dreams, some desires. You still have a vision that God has shown you. Can I let you know that with God, all things are possible? Boy, I feel the presence of God. Let me just say it one more time. With God, all things are possible. I don't care what the enemy has meant for evil. God knows how to turn that thing around. I don't care what the medical professional has said about your condition. That was 10 years ago, and look at me now. Ran a marathon, ready to do another one. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Mark 9 and 23, you don't have to turn there. Because again, I'm telling you, and the musician, y'all can come, because I'm, as old folks say, nearly about done. That means nearly about. But the scripture says in the book of Mark, the 9th chapter, you know, and Jesus was talking and they were having this conversation, and the Father had already gone to the disciples and telling the disciples, you know, he was like telling them, hey, my son has got some serious issues. And he has demons, and sometimes it throws him in the fire. And he said, I brought him to your disciples. It's a typical figure, is I brought him to the church. And the disciples couldn't do nothing. And then he looks at Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you can do anything, can you do something for my son? And when I think about this, I think about the fact that, you know, I can imagine Jesus said, wait a minute, wait. Do you know who you're talking to? You know, I turned water to wine. Peter's mother had a headache, and we can even heal headaches. You don't even need Buffering or Excedrin. I speak to storms, and storms have to obey my voice. I stopped the funeral procession and raised up the boy. I told dead Lazarus after 4 days and stinking, get up, Lazarus. Do you know who I am? If I can do anything. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. And I could hear the Father, and I've been in this place too, so I don't knock the Father, because he's been hanging with him all this time, and he brought him to church to say be healed, and now he's talking to Jesus himself, and he was just real with himself. He says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe that some of us are like that right now. We said, Lord, I believe, but I got some unbelief. I'm struggling with some things, Lord. And I went to church and they couldn't even help me. So I'm struggling right now. I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I could see Jesus saying, this is an opportunity. Can I let you know, folks, where you are right now is an opportunity. Shout it with me, I got an opportunity. An opportunity to trust God for my healing, for my deliverance, for my family, for my job, for my future. Y'all can stay on your feet. I'm done. Jesus at that time just rebuked the devil. The devil needs to be rebuked in some of your family members. Didn't go through a whole lot of, come out. No, just. Thing had to go. I want to challenge you today. We together have been called to walk by faith and not by the things that we see. I don't care what you've seen, and stop letting the television tell you how your future is going to end. Fox News is not my prophet. CNN is not my prophet. MSNBC. But I stand on God's word. Thank you, Jesus. I want to challenge you this day. I want to challenge you to, even in uncertain times, that God wants you to walk by faith. This week, some of you all will face some uncertain times and even dealing with some surprise. But greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that is in the world. And sometimes you have to remind yourself, wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.